Welcome to the February 10th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Living in 3D. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Are you shocked by my appearance? Is that what it is? I don't know what in the world. It's just quiet. Good morning. My name is Jeff Allen, and I'll be your maitre d' for the morning. We are so pleased that you've decided to join us for worship this day. It's a great pleasure to have all of our members and guests alike who joined us for worship. We want to make sure who all was here. We have pew pads on the inside of every pew. We'd like for everyone to have a chance to fill that out. So if you get that started, we ask you to put your name and contact information and check the appropriate boxes. Members and guests alike, this helps us to update our contact information for you and find out who was in worship today. So we ask everybody to do that. Thank you for helping us out. When it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it started, then when it reaches the start point, if you could rip that out and put it on the top so our ushers can get that at the end of the service, that would be great. Several announcements that I want to point out. If you just look on the back of your bulletin, several things that are happening today. Just some schedule changes. Because of the dinner and the show, which I'll mention in just a minute, there will be no youth activities this afternoon or evening. We'll all be passed out at home. So just make sure you make note of that. But everything else will go on as scheduled. We are having children's time today. We ask all the children to come down front and to see me right after the first hymn number 15. We want meet me right down here for children's time. The GAs wanted me to make an announcement. They are having a baby shower next Saturday, February the 16th, from 2 to 4 in Smith Hall. This is a baby shower. All the things that you will bring will go to the Second Harvest Food Bank of North Carolina. And there's a specific list of items that can be brought. This is a mission work sponsored by our GAs. If you want to look in the newsletter, and it will tell you all the specifics about what you can bring, what you can't bring, because there are some things some rules that we need to go by. So we appreciate the GAs doing that for us. So if you could help us with that baby shower, we would appreciate it. Dennis. Where's Dennis? We like when Dennis makes announcements, because we never know what he's going to say. How about that segue?
There is an important date coming ahead. I see red out here in the audience. We've already got a great kickoff from last night from the Valentine's banquet. I was told not to say anything about that, but, you know, it's an important day. Love is in the air. The Spirit is there. And it's ending on the 4th. The number ends in a 4. Men, ladies, you too, and the girls and the boys, yeah. Y'all know what day it is? Well, that too. It's the 24th. The 24th of February, we're kicking off a new class, another class called 356. And 356, for some of y'all that don't know, it's in reference to a scripture verse, Proverbs 3:5-6, or 3:5-6. So what we're about, it started as a singles class, and we're still that, and much more. We've had some struggles this year in trying to get kicked off and getting a core assembled, but we need some assistance, and we would like some temporary assistance from the congregation in adding to that class. So we have about 7 subjects and books already picked out for the next year we've started. And we want some volunteers from various classes to just come and join us. and meet with us. We've been in the newsletter. We'll have our location there. We're down by Adult 4 across from them. There's Sally Krotz, Van Krotz, Vicki Palmer, and myself, Dennis Palmer. We'll be leaders of that class, and we would like y'all to come join us. We have several subjects. We will be starting out with Fruit of the Spirit, and that's a very, I think it's a 9 or 13 week class. I've looked at so many sessions we've had, I forget how many weeks that particular class is. It's 9. Thank you, Mary. It's a brief study. We don't intend for you to come join that class permanently. Roll will be kept so that you will be given credit for where your regular class is. But come, feel free to join us and give us some support when others that we've invited as visitors are there and they feel welcome, to kind of give our class a springboard and jump start to grow. And so everybody can share in that spirit of love and the love of Jesus Christ. I thank you very much.
Speaking of love, as we celebrate a Valentine's Day, if you didn't get the other four reference, guys, it's time to order the flowers. I have my calendar for tomorrow to order all the flowers that are due, so make sure you get that. But just to get you in the mood, we have a Valentine dinner and a show today, and we have just a few spots remaining. If you went to the show last night, would you raise your hand? Now, if you would come back again, would you raise your hand? Okay, so if you don't have a ticket, you see the evidence that you need to be in the dinner and a show, well, lunch and a show, today at 12:15, right after worship. We want you to come. We do have a few tickets that are still available. You can see me as we head into the event. And we appreciate all the support that you provided to make this evening and this day possible. It'll be well worth your time. Raymond, I need you to come up here. He didn't know I was doing this, but today is Raymond's birthday.
40.
Yeah. He says he's 40.
I am.
And what anniversary of your 40th birthday is this?
I was born in 1960.
1960.
So I can do the math.
I don't remember 1960. Okay. But anyway, we are thankful to have a pastor like Raymond who loves us and takes care of all of us and supports us. And we thought that it would be very appropriate that the people that you serve get a chance to give back to you a little bit. So Mary, this is a whole, we're going to sing Happy Birthday. So, guests, you may be a little frightened after all the things you've seen this morning, but we are very excited that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You have already given us your information, and we want to give something back to you. So we ask you to just raise your hand if you're a guest this morning. The ushers are coming down, and they want to give you a packet of information, so just raise your hand as they start walking down the aisles. And inside this packet, you will find a letter from our 40-year-old pastor. You will find a newsletter, as well as a little bit of the history of College Park. We appreciate you being with us in worship this day. The best way to find out about College Park is to be in worship. When people of different experiences and ages, they come together with the belief in Jesus Christ, to worship in spirit and truth. And that's what we do. And that's what we do best. And so I think it's appropriate that we've gathered together at this time to worship God together. You will find in your bulletin is a responsive reading. We call it our invitation to share in worship, because that is what we are doing. We are sharing in worship. We are actively participating together in worship. This morning's responsive reading comes from Psalm 145, verses 3 through 5. I invite you to stand now for our responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts.
They will speak of the glory and splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works.
Amen. You may be seated. Father, when we stop to think about how much you love us, it can be overwhelming. For we remember that you are not a God who sits off somewhere, unaware of what's happening in our lives. You are right here with us. For your Holy Spirit was sent to be with us. You are a God who takes great interest in his people. You are the God. Oftentimes we try to put things in our lives that are God-like, where we put our time and our money and our attention, material possessions, other people. Those become our God. But we are reminded that it is you and you alone who moved heaven and earth to bring Christ to this earth, to show us how much you love us, to be the ultimate friend, the ultimate Savior. That's why we worship today. We thank you for that love. We ask that you come into this place, fill us with your presence. Remind us why we're here, and hear us as we worship. In Christ's name, amen. Good morning. How is everybody?
Good.
Do you like my outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we got some. Come on. Matthew and Cameron. All right. What do you like best about my outfit?
The bow tie.
The bow tie? Yeah. 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 Did you? The microphone thing? Yeah. All right. Do you like the color? Yeah, I love the color too. It's Valentine red. It's not state red. And because we lost really bad last night. And so I got a question for you. Do y'all like having friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Raymond in a little while, he's going to talk about how, you know, having friends and how important that is. And I want to tell you a time when Jesus, he became a friend to somebody. Can I tell you that story? Now, there was a guy named Zacchaeus. Y'all have heard his name? Let's call him Zach for short. I bet that's what they all called him. Don't you think? They probably called him Zach. Well, so Zach, now Zach wasn't the nicest of guys. He cheated people. He took people's money and he took more than he was supposed to. He wasn't the nicest of guys. And he was kind of short and, well, people didn't like him because they cheated and they kind of made fun of him because he was shorter than everybody else. They just didn't like him. And there's just something, you know, and Jesus started coming towards his house one day. Have you ever seen a parade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a parade. Well, it's kind of imagine a parade. All these people were coming, and Zacchaeus, he was short, and he was like, what in the world's going on? And he said, I think I need to climb up in this tree. He climbed up a sycamore tree, and he said he was so short, he couldn't see anything. There were so many people, so he climbed up, and he saw Jesus. And he was amazed. And by the time Jesus came up to the tree, he said, Zach, I need you to come down there. I want to go to your house. I want to hang out with you. Can we do that? Can we hang out, you and me? And everybody around said, Jesus, you know who you're talking about. That's that guy who cheats. That's that guy who just, he is not nice. He's kind of short. He's just kind of weird. And he's not nice. Jesus said, Zach, you and me, we're hanging out. That's a pretty cool thing, don't you think? That this guy who makes mistakes, he cheated people, that Jesus wanted to hang out with him. That's a pretty cool thing. And so Jesus went to Zach's house, and they had dinner, and they kind of hung out. And by the time Jesus was leaving his house, Zacchaeus was so moved that this guy wanted to be his friend, that Jesus wanted to be his friend. That Zacchaeus, he said, you know what? I have not been a good guy. And I'm giving away all the money and tons more that I took from people. That's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? When a guy who used to cheat, he gave all his money away because Jesus decided to be his friend. That's what happens when we are friends, just like Jesus was to Zacchaeus. You know, there are probably people in your classrooms or at school or wherever you go that are not the nicest people. And sometimes there are reasons that they're not nice. But you know what? Jesus says we're supposed to be friends to everybody, right? So if we become friends and we show people how much we love, what happens? Just like Zacchaeus, he gave back all that money. Things start happening when we're friends to people. So what we need to be are those kinds of friends, like Jesus was to Zacchaeus. Even when people are mean to us, even when people are ugly to us and don't deserve to have a friend like us, Jesus wants us to love them like that. Think you can help me do that? You think you got somebody that you can do that at home or at school? I think we do. We need to be that kind of friend. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the amazing story of Zacchaeus and how Jesus came into his life and was his friend and just changed his world. And Father, you want us to be that kind of friend where we love people even though they don't deserve it. Even when they do stuff to us, you want us to be a friend just like Jesus is to us. You want us to be like that to others. Help us to do that, because when we do that, you can do something amazing. And that's what we want to do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You all have a great Valentine's Day. I love you. We'll see you soon.
Lent began on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and Easter's 6 weeks away. And as we journey toward the cross and seek to understand what the cross means to each one of us and the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, it is right that we acknowledge to God who we are and the sins that we have so that we may confess those and be redeemed by the promise in Jesus Christ. If you will share with me a prayer of confession as printed in your order of worship, and we read responsibly this prayer of confession of who we are and our sins. Almighty God, we confess how hard it is to be your people. You have called us to be the church, to continue the mission of Jesus Christ to our lonely and confused world.
And we acknowledge that we are more apathetic than active, isolated than involved, callous than compassionate, obstinate than obedient, legalistic than loving.
Gracious Lord, have mercy upon us and forgive our sins.
Remove the obstacles preventing us from being your representatives in a broken world. Awaken our hearts to the promised gift of your indwelling Spirit. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Thankfully for us, it does not end with sin. And thanks to the cross, we can conquer sin and be redeemed. A word from the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament that serves as an assurance of our pardon. From Ezekiel 36, verses 25 and 26. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Praise God for His holy word and our assurance of pardon.
Will you pray with me? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you for this beautiful day, for the promise of spring, for birthdays, for new kidneys, for the promise of new life. Lord, we thank you that you're with us when we need it, and that you are so helpful because we need you. Lord, I ask that we be your eyes and hands and feet in this hurting world. We thank you for all our blessings. In thy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. beautiful choir. And Teresa, welcome back to the piano. It's great to have you back over there. This is the second week in our Just Walk Across the Room emphasis. And I want to kind of bring you up to speed. If you weren't here last week, I know you'll be here next week, but if you weren't here last week, we want to kind of give you a little bit of background. Last week we talked about several things. We told the story of Just Walk Across the Room, which was the story that this campaign received its name from. But then we also backed up and we took a historical perspective. We talked about the fact that when Jesus left, he promised the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon the believers. And in the first century, they gathered together as the church, as a tight-knit community, for fellowship and for worship. And to gain courage and strength and training from one another as they prepared to actively engage the culture by witnessing to a hostile and antagonistic culture. So part of their strength came from their joining together for their fellowship and their learning and their worship together. But they all understood it was their job. It was their calling. It was their privilege to engage the culture, to be witnesses. That's what they were called to be. Things changed in 313 A.D. Emperor Constantine professed Christ, accepted Christ. And by decree, if you were a Roman citizen at that point, you were Christian. It really didn't have anything to do with a relationship. It had to do with a political decree. So at that point, what happened is soldiers became evangelist, if you will, because their job was outside of the empire to force those heathens into submission to be Roman citizens and thereby become Christians. Missionaries were designated in the religious realm as missionaries, witnesses. But what it did is remove personal responsibility from day-to-day Christians to be witnesses, because everyone around them, if you ask them, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Politically, that was the thing to be. Then we talked about a story that I recounted to you of a fellow that I met up at Five Points, Thomas. And the point of that story was to make you aware we have to be willing. We have to be willing to walk across the room. We have to be willing to roll down our window. We have to be willing to turn around in the grocery store line. Then we talked about the fact that if you want to be willing, that's one thing. But the other part of that is you have to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. If you cannot recognize the prompting of the Spirit, it's hard to follow those prompts. And the way you learn to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice is by spending time in prayer and Bible study so that God begins to work in your life. And it was an encouragement to be daily devotional. So you can hear what the Spirit is bidding you to do. And then the last thing we kind of ended with was the fact that this whole walk across the room model really came from God. Not the room, but the cosmos. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus took on flesh. He walked across time and creation to come live among us, teach us how to live, but also teach us that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And our challenge is to be exactly that. Christians, Christ ones, ones who are willing to seek and save those who are lost. So that's where we ended last week. This week, we're going to be exploring what I call living in 3D. And you received in your bulletin an insert. And you go, well, that's a nice picture. Why did he put his son's picture in the bulletin? We'll get to that in just a minute. Let me back up. About 3 or 4 months ago, I was having a series of meetings with a gentleman, and in our fourth meeting, he was in my office, and he saw this picture on my desk. And he asked me, is that a picture of your son? I said, yes. He said, well, tell me about him. Is he playing at that new school? And I began to tell him a little bit about him. Yes, he was at Reagan. He was playing football, and we talked about some personalities and people out there. It was a good conversation. And I said, you're interested in football. And I looked at this guy and says, you know, if you did not play football, you missed a God-given opportunity. He was built like a football player, nice guy. And he said, yes, I played football at Carver. And so I began telling him stories of when our team, when Reagan had played Carver, and how Carson had recounted to me the fact that they hit you harder than anybody else. But they were clean. They were clean shots, and they'd help you up after the play, after they buried you in the ground. They'd help you back up. You know, and I said, you know, and I respect that because that comes from coaching. And so then I began saying, you know, for whatever reason, you know, our coaches at the end of the game, they always invite the team that's opposing to join us in prayer after the game. And Carver was the only team that accepted our invitation this year. Now, I know the other coaches, I'm sure, had good reasons and all that. I'm not, you know, reflecting badly on any other team. I'm just saying that was an opening that I could talk with him about Carver and Coach Wilkes. And I went on to tell him, I've met the guy. I really like your coach over there. He seems to have a wonderful influence on the lives of those young men that play for him. He's teaching them many of the right things, and I admire that. And I said, but I've got to ask you a question. And I've always wondered about this. You know, they knelt down there at center field and prayed. And I said, and I got the impression they do that for every game just like we do. And he said, yes, we did. Every game, at the end of the game, we would kneel down and pray. And Coach would lead us in a prayer. And I said, well, don't think me rude. I knew the gentleman I was meeting with earlier meeting. I'd found out he was not a Christian. And I said, don't think me rude, but when Coach was praying, and you're not a Christian, what are you thinking about? You know, and I don't mean to be rude, but were you thinking about the game, or were you just kind of listening? And so I've always wondered about that. And he said, well, I said, I believe in God. I said, okay, good. Good. I said, do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? He said, well, yeah. I said, do you believe that when Jesus came, that part of his mission was to seek and save those who were lost and show us how to live and show us how to have victory over death? And that when he died on the cross, that was payment for our sin. And that if we accept his sacrifice and ask him to be our Lord and Savior, then he'll say, yes, I believe all that. I said, well, just out of curiosity, what has prevented you from actually praying to receive Christ? He says, you know, I always thought it was something that happened to you. That you really didn't have any choice in the matter. It's just something that, whoom, it happened. So I began to talk with him and share with him from Scripture that you choose to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And after I talked with him a little bit about that, I said, is there any reason that you would not want to do that today? He said, no. I think that'd be cool. So I led him in a prayer. He prayed and received Jesus Christ. And it started, all things, with a football picture. And it got me thinking, as believers, as walk across the room Christians, we need to live life in 3D. And the first D, these D's are outlined there on that insert, but the first one is develop friendships. And we have choices. There are captive environments and there are non-captive environments. Somewhat, he was a captive environment with me, but he could have chosen to leave. School and workplaces, that's a little tricky when we talk about captive environments. But you know, in a grocery store, that's a non-captive environment. In a civic club, that's non-captive. You know, and awkward first meetings sometimes, or first relationships as they form, those transformational friendships. You know, if you tune into the Holy Spirit, those can become lifelong friendships. But because too often, Christians follow this trajectory, if you will, that the longer we walk with Christ, the more we insulate and the more we isolate ourselves from those who are not believers. You know, instead of openly accepting and embracing people far from God, what we choose to do is kind of push them away because they're not one of the in circle. They're not one of us. So we push him away. And living as in 3D, as 3D Christians, Christ followers have to understand that Jesus lived and died for everyone. You know, and the friendships that we form, The people that we meet and the people that we encounter in our daily lives, we are called to be loving hands and feet for those people. Serving them, showing them the model that Jesus showed us on how to serve other people. Let them know that we care. So if you begin viewing every interaction that you have with people as the beginning, as a potential friendship in the making, there's an opportunity there to learn about their journey. There's also an opportunity to add value to that person's life by naturally and appropriately sourcing the needs that they reveal to you. Now, effective relational evangelism, I believe, can only happen when we as believers, when we as followers of Christ, are truly engaged in the people around us. And that means we need to, number one, develop friendships. We need to do that. Do you remember the story? We call it the parable trifecta. Jesus describes in Luke chapter 15. It's the lost parables, okay? You've got the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. They come one right after the other. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus, to give you a little background, he's in the marketplace. And it's kind of a parallel account to what Jeff was telling the children about the story of Zach. It's kind of a parallel deal. Jesus is in the marketplace, and he's having conversations with the irreligious people. You know, the people who are really far from what the Father had desired for them. They've made mistakes. They've painted outside the lines, to say the least. They used terrible language. They drank too much. They slept in the wrong bed. They cheated people. You know, the list could go on and on. But these are the people that Jesus is interacting with. He's listening, enjoying their company, being there with them. And as the scene plays out, we notice that the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees, show up and they don't like it at all. That's to put it mildly. Actually, they think the whole deal is utterly scandalous. Because here is Jesus, and the people that he's interacting with are the exact people that are on their hate list. You know, these are the precise people that the scribes and the Pharisees literally hate. And here's Jesus hanging out with them. They don't get that. Somewhere along the way, they had convinced themselves with some self-talk. And here's how self-talk works. Surely God has a heart that looks exactly like mine. Surely God inside is just like me. He has people who he loves and bestows blessings on, and he thinks good thoughts about, and he answers their prayers. But he also has people that he just doesn't like. So therefore, he doesn't answer their prayers. He doesn't listen to them. He doesn't have any respect for them. Matter of fact, he just disgusts them, and he can't wait to send them to hell. So the Pharisees reason this. If God's insides and God's heart is like me, in that he has some people he loves and some people he hates, then therefore, I can have people that I love and people that I hate. So they looked at these irreligious people who were immoral and ungodly in every way that they could think of, and they had written laws for, and they hated them. They wished evil upon them. And soon, Jesus obviously knew their hearts. He heard their grumbling. He sees their hearts and he springs into action. And he tells three of the most famous stories that we have in Scripture, one right after the other. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the wayward son, or the lost son. And he starts with big scale. Starts with 100 and one lost. Then he comes down to 10 and one lost. Then he comes down to 1 and one lost. And you know the stories, I'm sure. There's 100 sheep. One sheep wanders off and gets lost. The shepherd goes after him. There's 10 coins. One of them gets misplaced. There's a boy who in effect tells his father, I wish you were dead and I could get my money and go on about my business. That's translation. That was what the culture determined at the time. He goes out and he blows all the money. Three very interesting stories. And I would like to imagine that as he told these stories, that at least one of the Pharisees thought about it later. as he goes off and he's out in the courtyard and maybe he goes later and sits by a campfire and he's sitting there thinking, what was Jesus trying to tell us? And he's thinking, okay, we got lost sheep, we got lost coin, we got lost son. Oh, I get it. He's talking about things that were missing. They were missing. But maybe I'm missing it. Maybe there's something else. Maybe there's a deeper level here. Okay? They're missing, but what was missing actually mattered. Here's a sheep that was missing, but it actually mattered to the shepherd so much that he left the 99 and went to find it. Here's a coin that was missing, but it mattered to the woman because it was one-tenth of her entire estate. It really mattered. And here was a son that went missing, but obviously he really mattered to the father. So I can picture this Pharisee as he goes beyond there and said, okay, so what does all that mean? You know, it really matters. Then all of a sudden, I would like to think it hit him right between the eyes. Oh no. Could it really be that the father's heart is not like mine? Could it be that what Jesus was saying is that the father's heart is indiscriminately loving? That Jesus was saying that these irreligious people, these immoral, profane people that he was talking to, that what Jesus was saying is that they actually mattered to the Father. Could that be it? That these people were actually on God's love list too? Could Jesus really be saying that God the Father doesn't even have a hate list? Could it be that the love of the Father is love that is so deep and so wide that every man, woman, and child that's ever breathed oxygen on this planet is the object of His great affection? And maybe there's not a single person who ever lived that God actually wanted to send to hell. I like to think that at some point, they got the point. But whether they did or not, we don't have any excuses. Because Jesus makes it pretty clear. He paints a very clear picture that He came to seek and save what was lost, and we're supposed to do the same. That's what living in 3D means. We are to develop friendships in order to, second, discover stories. Remember this picture on my desk? It was a picture of my son. I have pictures of my daughter, my wife, my family. It wouldn't have done me any good at all to have a picture of your son on my desk. Because that's not my story. That's not a part of my story. What happened is he saw the picture of my son and asked me about football. Men, women, do you have pictures of your children, of your family on your desk at work? And if not, why not? You're missing an amazing opportunity to connect with people at a deeply personal level. Do you have pictures in your home when you have people to come in? If not, why not? You're missing an awesome opportunity. The picture was just a prompt. It was a prompt for what I call a firestorm. And you've heard me share this before, but F-I-R-E is an acrostic on how I like to develop a friendship and relationship with people. Because the F stands for family. Who doesn't like to talk about their family? Everybody likes to talk about family. They like to talk about their kids. You want me to rattle on? Ask me about my kids. You're the same way. It's okay. Grandkids, show me pictures. I want to see them. Everybody likes to talk about family. And family is a wonderful way to move them to the I, which is interest. Because you develop common interest. We had a common interest in football. That was just an interest. But it opened a conversation. And as we talk about interest, you can talk about things that you did that weekend. Hopefully you'll be able to share with them that you came to church. And then you can begin to move them to the R, which is religious background. You can ask them, you know, share with me about your belief system. Is there any particular belief system that you kind of hold to and that your family kind of worships? You know, talk about those things. And as you begin to talk about those things, that's moving to a little person, a little bit more personal level. But each step along the way, you've been building trust. And this process may take months, weeks, years. Eventually, hopefully, you can get to the E, which is exploratory questions. And those questions will be different with every person and every personality. But the point is to help ask them, take that step and say, would you like to receive Jesus Christ? Would you like to hear about the God that I serve? Firestorm. Discovering stories. With people that could be just one prayer away from having a personal relationship with God. Be the one person in the world who takes a genuine interest in their stories so that you'll know how to serve them. Discover their stories. That's the second D, and it leads us to the third D. You know, in your small groups this week, if you're participating in that, you're going to discover something called divine forks in the road. Let me give you a little preview. These are intersections where you can either listen to the person that you're talking with, really listen to them, listen to their story, and then pray that God would show you how to proceed in that relationship and friendship and what to do next. You can do that, or you can just say, well, I'm really not interested in doing that, and just disengage completely and walk away. Those are divine forks in the road. And I hope that as God presents these divine forks in the road this week, you're going to take the path that leads to engaging in the conversation. You're going to take the path that leads to investing yourself in someone else. The path that leads to, I guess you could say, sticking out your neck. Taking that risk, walking across the room, rolling down the window, turning around in the grocery line. Some way that you can resource the needs that that person has and show them that you really care. And if you'll do that, there's no telling what kind of joy awaits you as you take that next step. And that's the third step. Discern next steps. That's the third D. So you're going to develop friendships so that you can discover their stories in order that you might discern the next steps. Now, once you've risked walking across the room and sticking out your hand and introducing yourself or rolling down your window and speaking with someone or turning around in line there, you begin to unearth what another person's journey looks like. And as you do that, my advice, my charge is that you listen very carefully to the Holy Spirit as you're trying to discern what comes next. Every second of your conversation should be bathed in prayer, simultaneous prayer, that God would show you what to do. You pray for guidance, for insight, for wisdom, for creative ideas. You know, next steps to take. In my encounter with this gentleman, it was divinely given to me when we started talking about Carver. It was appointed that I knew the knowledge about our interaction with that team and with that coach. And that could ask him the question about the prayer following the game. I believe that was given to me directly by God to express my care and my concern for this individual. There's actually a very interesting story in Mark chapter 3. And it's about a man with a withered hand. The text says that Jesus was preparing in the temple one day when the Pharisees got this idea. They were always looking for a way to trap Jesus. They didn't like him. They didn't like Jesus, and so they were trying to find a way to trap him. So they brought this man with a withered hand into the temple area so that they could catch Jesus in the middle of a Sabbath infraction. It was quite a no-no in those days. And you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. Never mind healing injured people. You weren't supposed to work. Evidently, that was a no-no also. And the Pharisees drag this poor guy in there, and they stand back to see if Jesus is going to take the bait. And it just irritated Jesus. It really did. The message, which is a paraphrase of scripture that I've read from many times, it says, he was angry and furious at their hard-nosed religion. I think what that's saying is these men were prizing their rigid laws so much that it left no room for radical love. You can read the story yourself. I challenge you to do that. It's a short account in Mark chapter 3. But essentially, Jesus makes no apologies. No apologies for healing this man. He asked him to step forward and receive his healing because that's what he does. He made no apologies for healing this man. That's what Jesus does. And if I could leave you with one thing today, I want to leave you with this. You have the profound privilege of reaching the people around you with the same radical love and irrepressible acceptance that Jesus himself carried with him everywhere he went. The same radical love and irrepressible acceptance that was extended to you at some point in your life if you're a believer. You know, all of us were withered in some way when someone else chose to take the next step to help move us toward a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to remember. In your day-to-day lives, there are withered parts all around you. Friends, people. People with withered hearts and withered minds and withered bodies. People with withered dreams and withered energy and withered hope. And I just wonder if perhaps God will use you to help heal a few of those withered parts between now and when I see you again. A new week has unfolded. Today is the first day of a new week. It's unfolded, and like all new weeks, we can choose to invest ourselves, how we want to invest ourselves. We can invest ourselves in a way that would glorify us, or we can invest ourselves in a way that would glorify and give credit to God. That's your choice. But here's my challenge to you. This week, live in 3D. Develop friendships. Friendships with people who are withered in all sorts of ways, whether it's visible or invisible, so that you can discover their stories. Really listen to them. And as much as possible, keep the focus on their story in order that you can discern the next step, letting the Spirit guide your actions and your words. That's my prayer for you, that you will do that this week. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we know that we're undeserving of the grace, your unconditional love. So, Father, help us to understand completely the responsibility that we have to be your hands and feet, to reach out into a world that may seem hostile. But, Father, we pray that our time here has been well spent to encourage us and equip us to go into the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us that kind of courage, that kind of joy in serving you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're not a believer here this morning, I want to extend the invitation to you to come speak with me. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer and would like to make that public, I'd be glad to receive you and tell you the way that we receive members here at College Park. We'd love to talk with you about that. If you're a person that says, I am a believer, but I just haven't been living in 3D, maybe because I didn't realize the importance of it, or maybe I've just been a little lazy or been a little distracted, this is your time to talk with God and square that away. Ask Him to give you the strength to forgive you and to lead you from this day forward. I serve a God that is from this day forward giving me the strength to do what He's challenged me to do. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Oh,
can remain standing, I want to introduce to you, many of you know Elizabeth. She has been a part of this congregation for a long time. And Elizabeth Ray is coming this morning to tell you, to inform you that she has prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And we are going to be baptizing her the first Sunday in April. And if you will rejoice with her and pray for her and encourage her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen. All right. I think it was unanimous. Yeah, there were no votes cast there.
I know that you'll encourage her and want to come by and speak to her. Yvonne and Chris, if you'll join her, come stand by her. And Grandma, where's Grandma? Grandma, if you'll come down, following the benediction, come by and speak with her and encourage her. Let's join our hearts in prayer now. Dear Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity we've had to be in your house to worship. But Father, the strength that we have drawn from our time in fellowship and worship, we pray that we would be faithful to take it from this place. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.